We'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we create today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay our respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Hello, lovers. Welcome to Unveiled. I'm Lucy, wedding photographer.
And I'm Eddie, wedding videographer.
And we're here to spill the tea on the big wide world of weddings. Get ready for love stories, epic fails, and enough gossip to make your grandma blush. Whether you're planning or just here for the laughs, this is Unveiled. 90% love, 10% chaos, and 100% good vibes. Let's dive in.
Hi, Eddie.
How are you going?
Good, how are you?
Good, excited to get today's guest on. We actually interviewed Laura all the way back in episode number 51, which is last November.
Yep.
Part one of her wedding.
Yep.
And she has
leading up to planning stage.
And has since had a beautiful wedding, which was featured in Vogue and seen everywhere across
the internet. Yeah, you've been living under a rock if you haven't seen it across socials and publications. And for good reason, it looked and sounded like the most beautiful, incredible day. And her and Ben are just amazing.
Yeah, their photos just ooze love and it was natural and fluid. And I love in this interview how she just gives her heartfelt advice on things she did to make her day stress-free. Yeah.
And also, but she touches on, you know, things that she did stress about and why it's not worth stressing about. But one thing I really loved about this interview was, and she goes into it, but the part about the planner.
Yeah.
And the strings that were pulled. So yeah, it's a really, really great chat with Laura, and it was such a pleasure to talk to her again and find out how the day unfolded. So, without further ado,
let's dive in.
All right, Lawsy, welcome back to Unveiled. So excited to reflect on your beautiful wedding day to Benny that was back in March. You looked amazing. The photos and footage that we've seen looked incredible, and it just epitomized you and Ben perfectly. We did part one with you back in November, and you guys were pretty clear on the direction that you were heading in. How was the wedding day?
Oh, hi, guys. So good to be back and be doing part two. I'm just so excited to reflect back on the day that it was, because you're right. It was honestly everything that we, you know, imagined. It was beautiful and fun and joyful and funny and everything that kind of, and yeah, I reflect back and look through the photos and just grin from ear to ear on reflection of how fun it was. Yeah,
it just looks like that. It, like, literally the photos are just riddled.
It looks unbelievable. I'm just looking through some of your gallery now, and it looks incredible. And just moving to your venue, so it was Kingsbrook in South Australia, which neither Lucy or I have been to before, but it looks incredible, almost like a few European vibes in there.
Yeah.
So what influenced you with this decision?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it last time, but we actually paid a deposit at a different venue and had our heart set somewhere else.
That's right.
A photo shoot. Yeah, I did a photo shoot at Chris's house. So it's someone's home. His name is Chris. He's an ex-architect. Really cool kind of, I don't know, segue, but my wedding planner has actually taken on a full-time role at Kingsbrook. It was previously not a wedding venue prior to Ben and I getting married there. And kind of the success from our wedding, my wedding planner kind of saw an opportunity to bring life back to Kingsbrook, and they're now actually open full-time for weddings again, and she's running it. So
that's awesome.
Really cool.
That's epic.
To breathe life into it. And like, I think I mentioned it last time, but you can kind of see it in some of the photos, but it's got a wall of stone covered in vines, and it's got a giant gate out the front, and it's lined with palm trees. And again, it's someone's house, but I remember being a little girl, and it's on the way to the beach from my parents' house. And every time I would drive past, and it's like kind of on a dirt road, I would just have my head like out the window, just waiting to get a glimpse of this villa or this like beautiful estate. And I just used to think a princess lived there. So like in full circle moment to get married there.
That's
and to
amazing.
Have it. It was a risk because, you know, the plumbing didn't work. We didn't have access to electricity. We didn't have access to a kitchen. It was a risk, but like, my goodness, did it pay off? And you just see the beauty in the photos, and kind of trusting my gut with being like, you know, we had this other venue locked in that had, you know, everything kind of ready for us, and then to take that risk on a drier hire but have that, just that beauty and that energy that we really were looking for, it kind of just paid off in every way. So
that's amazing.
And it makes your wedding and your day so unique. Yeah, like it's something so special, you know, like your photos in that wedding will be the first one to ever take place there. And it's just incredible looking back at that, because you know a lot of weddings can start to kind of look the same, but you know, when you've got something as unique as that, it makes it super special.
Was everything on site, Laws? Were you able to get ready on site, ceremony,
so
reception?
We got married that is one thing that we really encourage kind of future couples to consider, is our ceremony, cocktail hour, reception and dance floor were all on the one venue. So we did a site visit with our caterers and our wedding planner, and we went and we kind of pointed out what we envisioned where each of those moments were going to be. And so we kind of, you know, it was important to have a flow of the day, and I wanted to break up the wedding by having different locations for each of those events. So we used that big, beautiful ceremony room with the arched windows and the vines on the roof. Pretty.
That looks beautiful.
So pretty.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. That's the room that sold me, I think.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like, it had the energy of, like, a church without it being a place of necessary religion.
Yeah.
And it just felt like a very special... just kind of cramming everyone into the room. And, you know, for the most part, everyone was shoulder to shoulder, but, like, the energy was just beautiful. And so we kind of knew that that's where we wanted to get married, in that room. And kind of a week before the wedding, it was actually full of old furniture and dusty antiques, and the gorgeous, like, groundsman at Kingsbrook, he had it all removed. And we did kind of, again, brought it back to life and swept the cobwebs off. And so we knew that that was the room that we wanted to do the ceremony. And then there was a little lawn area where we did with a water fountain. That's where we did the cocktail area. And then we popped up a marquee on the courtyard, which is obviously where we did the reception and the dance floor.
Amazing. That's so cool. So you had an amazing team of vendors on board, including your wedding planner, Montana.
Yes.
What did you find the most beneficial part of working with a wedding planner for your wedding day?
Totally. You know, we didn't have one thing that really happened that was like, oh, my God, this is the bad luck, or this is the – you know, problem that was always going to happen, because my wedding planner didn't even allow me to know if we were faced with, you know, a bit of a problem or an issue. And I just remember she didn't tell me until after the wedding that at the very last second, the owners of our venue no longer wanted us to put the marquee into the courtyard using pegs.
So we could
no longer set up a marquee. And I had no idea about this. And Montana, the incredible woman, she organized a forklift and forklifted the marquee, and they used giant weights, like 200 kilo weights, to hold down the marquee.
You're kidding.
And I had no idea. Like, imagine the day before the wedding finding out, oh, the venue actually doesn't want you to put your marquee up anymore. Like, are you kidding? And I had no idea. And Montana, the incredible woman, she just sorted it. She, you know, there was obviously a bit of money that still had to go into it that we had to cover, but it wasn't, you know, crazy, and she just did it because she knew that this is what Laura, you know, would just want it to, you know, get fixed and make it work. So that is something.
That
has enough to derail your whole wedding prep when you're trying to be zen. So, 100%. Wow. And I'm just scrolling through your gallery now, and it actually doesn't take away from the aesthetic at all.
No, not at all. It doesn't interrupt anything.
But wow, good on her. That's amazing.
Yes.
And, you know, because our venue was a dry hire, you know, bringing in everything from our staff, our generator, our power, our toilets, our lighting, everything, the staff, the forks, the washing, you know, the setting up to
everything,
packing up, it was all organized by Montana. There wasn't anything that I specifically did myself aside from putting, mood boards together and putting, they did our flowers as well. So Montana organized with Hygie all the graphics and the flowers. So using a company and using Montana, it was really the whole encompassing day that she was able to do. And I think that was really nice. Instead of having kind of 10 different vendors where you kind of have to do separately and you have so many different email threads that may get lost, it was really nice working with someone that kind of did it all.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think I do sing her praises so highly, is because we wouldn't have had our wedding without her. Like everything that you see in those images was Montana.
Yeah. So. And also you guys being based in Sydney and her being on the ground in South Oz would have been, I mean, helpful in itself, but mm-hmm. she just sounds like she was really across everything. And it says something when a wedding planner doesn't let you know about something
that big.
And just sorts it out themselves. So
totally.
Yeah, good on her. Were there any other hiccups across the day?
It was not on the actual day, I'm trying to think. Oh, bless my brother and his gorgeous girlfriend. I woke up at 6 a.m. with, oh my goodness, I had been planning on wearing this gorgeous silk set from Mason Essential with the PJ set, the fluffy, you know, silk pajamas and the feathers. And I just completely forgot it at home. And, you know, it was like the one thing that I was like, oh, I really, you know, want to wear that in that moment, getting ready with my girls. And so they went and, you know, did the 4-hour round trip, bless their absolute souls, and drove to my parents' house and picked it up. So that was
a very
minor hiccup. But like my brother really said, like, I am here for whatever you need. So that is like,
that's really nice.
Oh my God, the sweetest. Like I felt like such a diva. But then I was like, you know what? I'm only getting married once.
Yes.
And I do. And, you know, I did wear them and all the imagery. But just even on, you know, the morning of, it's what kind of I, you know, organized to wear. So it was very kind that he did that. And then really just the weather. I think it's important to say this, because if you're anything like me and you, you know, want to control every aspect of your wedding, and the weather is the one thing that you genuinely cannot control. You can only kind of do precautionary elements like marquees and wet weather plans. But we were forecasted to have rain on our wedding day. It was forecast to be, I think, 20 degrees and rain. And, of course, it ended up being about, you know, 24 and sunny, and, like, couldn't have asked for better weather. But, like, the week of, I just came to terms with, it's going to rain. It's going to be okay. We've got the marquee. It's fine. But, you know, just one of those things that you can stress and stress and stress, but what will be, and for the most part, the weatherman isn't always right.
Yes. I think we need to stress that
100%. Always. And I love that the fact that you scoped out the venue and you really just landed on having the ceremony at that spot, which is inside too. So I'm taking it that was your plan A, regardless of weather, right?
Because
it looks absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So the ceremony would have been fine. I think the only thing that would have kind of been affected by rain would have been like our cocktail hour, which is where we had our singer Dwan play for 2 hours. And, you know, he played epic. Like, we just told him, play pub classics. And, you know, everyone was already dancing, hadn't even sat down for the reception. And that's when we'd, you know, the spicy mugs and the gin and tonics. And it was just such a beautiful atmosphere. And we kind of had an extended cocktail hour for about 2.5-3 hours.
Yes.
And it was a really fun just time that everyone really settled in and just kind of relaxed. And, yeah, it was awesome.
Isn't
that
just
not
the
best part of the day? Yeah.
we say this to our couples all the time. It's like, you really want to maximize that time. It's the funnest part of the day, like, arguably.
100%. Like, you're just, you know, on such a high from the ceremony. And we kind of quickly went away and signed the papers. We stood in that archway at the end of our ceremony room, and we had our grandparents line up and our immediate family line up, and we banged out those photos. Like, I'm not kidding, did all family photos in 5 minutes. Like, we just were not, you know, mucking around. It was important to us that we got those images, but it wasn't something that we felt like we had to go too far away. We just wanted to get them done. So we literally did that straight away. And then we kind of got Montana, who was there on the day as well. We said, hey, look, we just want to enjoy our guests for an hour. Can we, you know, we're going to go have a drink. We're just going to relax, and then come get us in an hour and let's do 20 minutes of bridal photos. So we kind of broke it up that way. We, you know, enjoyed ourselves, kind of got a little bit tipsy, and then went away with our bridal party. And we just went out the front of the venue. It was, you know, 100 meters away, took some photos, came back. And that was really the only staged images. And, like, take it from me, you don't need any other time than that. Like, unless you really need portraits of you and your partner, are going to get gorgeous photos, you know, throughout the day and at night anyway. That I can't stress that we just loved being with our guests. And I'm just so grateful that our images were so candid, but it didn't require going away for too much. So
yes.
I think it's Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Those last few sentences you just said just need to be framed and sent to everyone, because it's so true. Like, that is, if you can get that section right, it's so true. And with cameras nowadays as well, you can get so many incredible images in such a short amount of time. And it's about capturing the moments before 100%. The couples get over it too, because you know, there's a bit of a tightrope when you want to capture all these beautiful images, but the couples want to be with their guests too, so you can have best of both worlds.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I think 90% of like Ben and I's favorite photos are the candid ones.
100%. You
know, someone said to me at an event recently, babe, in every one of your photos, you have your mouth wide open, you are grinning. And I'm like, yeah, I am, because I'm having the best time of my life. And it was so joyful. And like you kind of said before, Luce, is that like you can see our joy. And it's because it wasn't in those moments where we felt like we had to pose.
Like
it was those moments.
We
didn't even know they were taking photos. And, you know, I had such an awesome kind of conversation with my wedding photographer earlier on about, you know, we don't want to know that you're there. Mm-hmm. And just the more candid, the better. And he really nailed it. And so, yeah, that's definitely, if anyone's wondering what to tell their, you know, photographer or videographer, the brief is, you know, I don't even want to know that you're there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They were really great at just being there for those moments.
Well, I mean, for your work, Laws, you're constantly having to, you know, you're in front of the camera. So it's like, for you, it's just like about being relaxed and, you know, that love with Ben. And it is just riddled through every frame that I've seen from your day, which is incredible. And from all your guests as well. That shot, there's a shot of you on the dance floor with your, what looks like your nan. Is it your nan?
Yes. Yeah,
oh, my God. What a classic. Like, that is just
such a special moment.
It's just photos like that, you know, people are craving now, and I feel like it's becoming more common for couples to sort of be like, we want to be there with our guests.
And do you know what's so funny? And, like, again, just for, like, anyone planning their wedding, you know, I understand people these days are getting, like, content creators for their day, and, like, they're putting a lot of effort and energy in creating this, like, kind of content for social media. Our most viral kind of content that we have kind of put up on social media was when me and my girlfriends, I just finished getting ready, and my photographer and videographer, you know, bless them, they were doing their job, they're doing exactly what they were there and paid to do. They kept trying to, you know, get photos, and I was getting really overwhelmed. I had 10 minutes before I had to leave. And I just kind of said to them, hey, guys, I'm actually feeling like I'm at work right now. Can I just have 5 seconds to really enjoy, you know, 5 minutes with my bridesmaids before, you know, I get married? And it's so funny. We put on Unwritten, which is just such an iconic womanhood, girlhood song. And we sung our hearts out. We didn't even know that there was cameras recording. And our gorgeous celebrant, Aniela, just texted me the footage. And, of course, I put it up on TikTok, an 8-second video. It has 28 million views.
You're kidding.
I have like full goosebumps though to that song, and like being with your girlfriends and the moment you're about to walk down that aisle. Yeah.
That was, you know, like we did not plan that moment. We did not say, hey, can you guys like take a video of us doing this? It was such a joyful present moment. And I think, again, that's
so
like,
nice.
When you're trying to get this content, or you're trying to get this imagery to reflect on and show your kids and your grandkids, like that's the moment that you go like, that is such a cool happy
that's the
happy
stuff
time.
You want to show them. Exactly. Oh, I love that, Laws.
Hey, Luce, imagine if you could package up your 8 years of experience into one comprehensive resource for photographers aiming to achieve your level of success.
Funny you say that, Eddie. I've just done that with the launch of my new online course, Wedding Photography Unveiled.
Epic. And what exactly does this include?
It's a deep dive into every aspect of wedding photography, from overcoming self-doubt to mastering the art of editing, confidence building in killer creative direction, and effectively positioning your business for success in a competitive market.
Lovely. And how exactly does this differentiate from every other course out there?
Wedding Photography Unveiled isn't just about technical skills. This course dispels the myth that gear alone defines success, emphasizing the actual person behind the lens. It's an invitation to embrace self-belief, find unconventional ways to understand and use equipment, and ultimately create a portfolio that not only showcases your technical skills,
that tells a story that exudes confidence and breathtaking visuals. Head to lucyblakeeducation.com for a comprehensive overview of the course and follow me on Instagram at lucyblake_education for exclusive tips, insights, and special offers. We should probably get to the episode now, Ed. So you worked with the amazing Kaya Scott of Kaya Studios to create your beautiful, beautiful bridal looks. So different and both so amazing. And I feel both such a reflection of you. Can you describe the inspiration behind your ceremony gown and your extremely amazing second look?
Second look, thank you. So Kai and I worked across 2 years and, like, the woman is patient. Like, I was messaging her all hours. I think up until – so we got married in March. I spoke to you guys in November. That October, so the month before I spoke to you, was when we finalized the design of my gown. Previous to that October, there was no gown. I actually, in October, was still going for sleeves for my, like, first look. I was going to do the mesh sleeves, which kind of, 18 months before was having that real moment in bridal. I know that a lot of girls were, you know, finding inspiration in that mesh kind of sleeve, really beautiful silhouette. And I was actually going to do that. And then at the last minute, I went, no, I think I'm jumping on a trend here when I don't know if I'd actually do that if it wasn't a trend. Let's scratch the sleeves. And I am really glad that I did scratch it, because I feel like when I look at my dress now, it feels so me. And I know that, like, I was like, oh, it was strapless, you know, overdone. But then I said, who gives a fuck if it's overdone?
Yeah,
like, it's,
exactly.
There's only so many ways that you can wear a white dress, you know. And I think what made it really fun is it was actually speaking to Ben early on in the process, and I said, you know, what do you think of this dress? And it was a gorgeous Danielle Frankel, silky, very traditional moment. And he was like, oh, you know, it's beautiful, but I always envisioned you as a princess. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I envision myself as a princess. Like, you know, that's not exactly the vibe I was going for, but, you know, how do I make this work? And so I wanted, you know, obviously I wanted to dress myself, but equally I wanted him to think I was beautiful as well. So
absolutely.
I was like, okay, how can I put a spin on a princess that, like, a Laura princess? And I was like, you know, let's make it a little sexy and let's make it fun. And that's kind of what we did. It was like a mesh corset that was kind of see-through, but not enough that you could see through to make it inappropriate, but you could still kind of see the skin color underneath. And it was, you know, so form-fitting that it kind of contradicted the beautiful, huge tulle skirt underneath. And it kind of gave this ballet princess, but still very modern twist on a princess gown. And I felt so beautiful in just every way. And I mean, Kaya just, killed it. She was incredible.
You've also got that really cool vibe about you, Laws, that I feel like that is also within still princess vibes. Like, you still managed to bring that into, the other, which I just.
Do you know what it is? I think what it is the styling. Like, that dress is beautiful, and I've seen it kind of come up on my social media with, you know, other girls wearing it. But I think what's critical about pulling off that sexy princess modern vibe is I wore, like, a burgundy deep maroon nail color. I stacked my ears with a bunch of earrings, and I think that was the twist of the modern princess. And I think, you know, if you are wanting to be, you know, putting your personal style on that, I think that really shines through. And even though, you know, it's like, oh, nail polish, the color is not that relevant, or, like, having an ear stuck in isn't that big of a deal, but it's like when it all comes together, that are those little points of difference that you can really put your personal style into your looks. And I think that really shone through. So that was really awesome to kind of do that as well.
Yeah. And your second look, the reception look, completely different, but also fit somehow with the other. Like, it just all looked, I mean, I think because you kept your hair up, like, you, you know, that kept that kind of slick updo going, which was, I mean, that it just looked, your face then just was so, like, you could see how beautiful your, all your makeup and everything was as well.
Yeah, thank you.
But you worked with Kaya on the second one too?
Yeah, so the second look was actually really fun. So the second look, it was always going to be custom, but it ended up being variations of pre-existing Kaya pieces that we had never put together or had never been done before. So that beaded bra that I ended up wearing was actually a piece I walked in New York Bridal Fashion Week for Kaya, and that was part of my look that I wore for the runway show. And the day after in New York, Kaya and I both happened to be there. I had one of my design sessions with Kaya. It was such a, like, that will be one of the core memories of my life. It's like being in New York, my best friend Emery was there, Kai was there, we're drinking champagne, we're doing like a, you know, bridal fitting. It was just awesome. But that beaded bra was part of just a styling piece from her runway.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, I really like that. And then, you know, this whole bolero moment was also in the collection. And then Rosie Huntington Whiteley, who I've always taken fashion inspiration, she wore something similar on a red carpet. She wore a bra, bolero, and a long fitted skirt. It wasn't bridal, but it was, and she wore it in black. But we took inspiration from that look and used pieces of pre-existing Kai to put that look together. And it really just happened within like this 2 minute. Wow. Kai just kept being like, I've got something, I've got an idea, I've got an idea. And I put it on and we were like, fuck yes, like this is such a moment. It's iconic. It hasn't necessarily been done yet. Like, it is so me. And I just knew that that was exactly what I wanted to wear. And it was just awesome. It was fun. I got to dance. It felt youthful, but it still was, you know, modest in the sense that, like, my arms and shoulders and, you know, everything was covered up, but it was, you know, a little strip of belly and a little bit of chest. And it just, it was daring and it was just, it was awesome. I love that look so much.
Yeah. Well, you rocked both. So absolutely love. And shortly prior to the wedding, we did touch on this in the part one, but you launched your own bridal accessories label, Magnolia Avenue. So epic.
So
congratulations again on that. It's just so exciting. So how did the concept of the business come about? Like, was it because you were going into being a bride, or did you have this sort of in the works for a while? And did you wear any pieces of yours on the day?
Yeah, so basically in September last year, I was living in LA at the time and I had a bit of spare time on me. And I just knew that, I don't know, I was planning my bachelorette outfits, probably the core of where it actually started. And I was just doing my research on the kind of outfits and styling pieces and again kind of going back to like my actual wedding day. Something that I really love about my personal style is I love using kind of like, you know, effortless silhouettes, but then you kind of make it more elevated through accessories. And that's something that I've always done in my personal style. And I just was kind of doing some research. And like, when I thought of bridal accessories, there wasn't a space, in my opinion, that the accessories had been done in a quality way that wasn't necessary, like that was exclusively bridal. Like traditionally, you know, I might pop to Zara to get like a little accessory to add to an outfit, or I might invest in a quality piece on, you know, like Essence or like Net-a-Porter, but there wasn't anything bridal exclusive for your surrounding events. Obviously there are some really beautiful designers out there that do veils and jewelry exclusively for a kind of bridal like wedding day. But when I really reflected on Bachelorette, I didn't know of any Australian designers really honing in exclusively on that. So it kind of got me thinking, you know, is there a space for me to do it? How do I do it? What does this look like? And I really just did my research. You know, I think I even did how to start a e-commerce in Australia, you know, business. And it literally came up with a 10-step kind of instructions. And I just started with step one, step two. All of a sudden I'm registering, you know, the domain name. The next step, I'm doing copyright. Next step, I'm, you know, researching on fabrics and manufacturers and quality control. And all of a sudden I'd started
a brand.
And it never came like, holy shit, what am I doing? It just, the steps just kept happening and happening. But I think when you truly believe in your idea and in your product, it doesn't feel as scary. I think I've like always pondered on starting a business and I've always had that kind of confidence that I may step into an entrepreneur position, but I never felt confident in my ideas. You know, do I want to do handbags? Do I want to do clothing brands? But I'd start to think of this idea, but then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm passionate about that. And there's so many brands out there that, you know, I don't want to compete with because they're doing such an incredible job. But this, I felt like I could put my take on it and I feel passionate about that. So that's where the inspiration came from. And it just coincided that I happened to be getting married. Yes, there was inspiration from my own wedding, but it wasn't like I started my business because I was getting married. Like, it never was motivated by like, oh, I want to, you know, kind of start a business based off my own wedding. I just felt like there was a gap in the market because I was going through that experience.
Yeah, well, I think that happens quite often. It's like people are all of a sudden, you know, they're in the position where they're looking for something, and then all of a sudden it's like, I can't find what I'm looking for. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's great. And
thank you
for all the, I mean, men and women out there looking to pair accessories with, say, their gowns and their hairstyle. Can you, as like a designer of bridal accessories, can you kind of suggest what pieces could be considered based on the gown that they're wearing or the hairstyle?
Totally. So I think that, like, if you go back to what I wore on my day, my gown was already so extravagant that I didn't want to take away from the gown, and I didn't think it was necessary to put a necklace on considering it was strapless, and that would kind of be the obvious thing to do. But instead, I loved this kind of elevated look by adding, you know, ear cuffs and layering, you know, earrings. And so that's the way that I found that I could include Magnolia onto my wedding day. I would definitely say that that aesthetic is more about little pieces that add but don't take over your look, whereas I have pieces in my collection, like, you know, I've got my oversized Giselle bow, which is like, I always think she's so gorgeous when you pair her with a little mini dress, and, you know, she's styled for, you know, your second look on the dance floor or on your bachelorette or your bridal shower, where you kind of have your hair down and you can just pin it back and have this gorgeous oversized bow to really bring the look to life with a basic dress. So I always kind of say, if you're going to choose a statement Magnolia Ave piece, kind of tone down your clothing or your dress, your outfit, or you can maximize your outfit by adding kind of minimal Magnolia pieces. And so I think it's about just using that balance. But I really do have a range of accessories on the website that really cater to your look. I think you can always accessorize. It just, you know, never really wanting to overdo it, but also finding where the accessories kind of fit into your outfits as well.
I love what you said earlier too, Laws, about the whole, you know, just those little touches that do bring your entire kind of look together. So like from your nail polish to a little ear cuff on one side or a bow or all of that. So I think that's super helpful.
Yeah,
and
your
pieces are super beautiful.
Thank you. I'm feeling so excited about it. And, you know, it's collection one and I'm in the process of designing collection two, and I'm so excited about it. And I'm just so excited for where that, you know, for the future of that. And it's just, I mean, it's so early days and I'm learning every single day. I don't think I'll ever say that I'm done learning in this business, because I myself are so new in it, but it's just been such a joy. And I think the best part is seeing, you know, real brides wear it on their wedding day and just look so beautiful and tell me how beautiful they felt. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, the website and the branding and everything looks beautiful. So you've done good job from, you know, only starting it.
From a guy's point of view.
Yeah, so I'm going to scroll through it. But circling back to the wedding day, if you had to pick just one most memorable moment, what do you think it would be and why?
Oh, no, it's hard to do just one, isn't it?
So hard.
The whole day.
Almost impossible.
I've got to say, because it's the only time I cried, which is interesting because I'm such a big crier, but we had just finished all the speeches and we were about to kick off into our dance floor, and we had pre-organized with the caterers and Montana to give every gift a shot of Fireball. Fireball is kind of like a fun drink that Ben, at any party that Ben's ever at, he will buy a bottle of Fireball, and very not COVID safe, but he just gives everyone the bottle to pass around and have a shot of. So we gave everyone a shot of Fireball and we asked them to hold on to it. And basically we did a toast in honor of our grandparents that had passed. And so we did we honored all of our grandparents, and we all took this shot of Fireball. And as we're taking this shot of Fireball, I just hear this scream. And I mean, I'm just in shock, like, what the heck is going on? And it was one of Ben's friends. They kind of, a bunch of boys stood up and started, you know, singing or chanting the haka, and it was a specific haka for Welcome to Family. Yeah. And you could hear it from miles away. Like, I'm telling the story now, I'm getting goosebumps.
Me too.
Seeing these men in their, you know, their suits. It's a war cry essentially, but like such a beautiful cultural moment, and like, and in such a spiritual way. And in that moment, I realized that we were not only honoring Ben's family, we were honoring, you know, his heritage, my parents and my family. And, you know, it just was a great reminder that like Ben and I coming together, there's so much legacy behind us, and we're going to bring children into this world that, you know, are a legacy of Ben's family and my family. And it was just incredible. And then to watch Ben perform this haka back, it was just, the poor thing had such amazing. A sore throat the next day because he bloody, you know, hurt his vocal cords. But there was not a dry eye in the room, and it just was, it was awesome and so cool. And just, I will forever, you know, appreciate that moment and be grateful to the boys that participated in it, because it just was special.
Oh, there's something very special about that. Haka, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, it makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. It's so much passion in it as well.
And
it's,
I think I remember seeing, was there a video of that, Laws? Because I think I saw it, and I just remember watching it being like, oh my God, I want to cry. Like, this is, and then hearing that story behind it, that is so special.
Yeah,
like so, really so awesome. Special. Yeah, amazing.
And now that the wedding day's all done and dusted, do you think there's anything you would have done differently, or was it all just smooth sailing?
No. Like, no. I think the only thing I would say is like maybe pushing the charter buses. I probably didn't do a very good job at timing them. I think I told them to do two runs and only. You know, in my mind, I was like, oh, some of the oldies and some people might want to leave early, and then we'll get the second bus to come and do the rest. No one wanted to leave. So the first bus took maybe 10 people, and then you've got like another 150 people that need to leave on the second bus for the capacity of, you know, 90 people. So I probably maybe cooked that a little bit. But otherwise, and probably to my girlies that are similar to me, I just got so excited, and I was – they just, everyone's advice to me is like, oh, you won't be able to get drunk. The adrenaline will be pumping through you. I got drunk. Like, I could not eat to save my life. I had no appetite. I was full of adrenaline, full of excitement. And obviously, like, I sat down to eat when the mains came out, but probably not enough. And all of a sudden I was going, oh, God, like, I'm getting a bit tipsy right now. And I did have to take a second, drink some water, like, just have a moment. And it was absolutely fine. But I do think I probably could have chilled a bit on that, and like not in a negative way. And it definitely didn't ruin anything. But I think that was something that I was told wouldn't happen, and it definitely happened to me.
Yeah.
Just be aware that, you know,
you can get drunk.
Yeah.
Well, I think when shots come out in at reception, and then also if you have a cocktail hour like you touched on before, and you guys had quite an extended canapé hour as well where there were cocktails.
Totally.
Like, I'm sorry, but margaritas gets anyone going.
Like,
it doesn't matter who
and
you
then,
are.
Like, I think about when we got ready, like there was like champagne flowing,
yeah.
But I was under strict, you know, I mean, I was doing it, I said to myself, you know, you can have two champagnes over the course of, you know, 4 hours or whatever it took getting ready until I walked down the aisle. So it was fine. It was when we got there. And, you know, props to our catering company. They were efficient. Like, they were, every time they saw me, they were filling up my champagne glass. Like, they were just amazing. And I do think there's a photo somewhere of me at the very end of the night on someone's shoulders. I had someone's cowboy hat on. I had a bottle of, like, mum, and I was just freaking out.
Classic.
It's amazing, but it's like, oh God, like, you know, just crazy, but too much fun.
Well, it sounds like you remember everything, Laws, so that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And for those in the midst of planning, what do you feel would be, I mean, you've given some incredible advice throughout the entire interview, but is there one piece that you would really love to part with?
I think, and like, I'm sure you get this all the time, but like, what will be, and in such a meta way of, I remember leading up and Googling, should I get a spray tan? Is it going to come on my dress? I did my fake tan two nights before the wedding at midnight after our welcome party, I got home at about 1 a.m. I looked to one of my best friends and said, babe, you got a fake tan on me. She said, I am not doing a fake tan on you 2 days before your wedding day. I said, it's all good. It's all good. And, you know, I did it and it looked amazing. You never would have known. But just little things like that and the weather where I stressed and stressed and stressed. And it was forecast for rain and it ended up okay. And it's all these little things that and oh my goodness, the seating chart. I stressed and stressed and stressed. I spent hours on the bloody seating chart. And oh my God, on the night of my wedding, I sat down and I was facing my husband apprentice's girlfriend. And like, she is a gorgeous, gorgeous girl. Don't get me wrong, like gorgeous girl. But that's not who was meant to be in front of me, you know what I mean? And I spent so much time stressing and anxiety and it ended up, you know, but I was absolutely fine to face her. But like, just what will be and you're so happy that you don't even care. It's like, oh, well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Laws. You honestly have given such incredible advice and it was so epic to hear how amazing yours and Ben's wedding day ended up being. We had no doubt, but it was just I'm so excited to share the photos and footage.
Yes. Thank you guys. Thanks for having me on. It's been so much fun.